Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Wednesday after a Cowboy game. Always fun. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. New haircut, boy, on the air. New haircut. Very proud of it.
It looks very nice.
Thank you. Very professional.
I have no idea what day it is. What day is today? It feels like Friday because we had football last night.
I loved it. People complaining about too much football. It's like saying they had too much bacon. Like, just more, please. I thought it was great.
That's a great comparison, yes.
I love it.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. And it was great to see Lamar Jackson out there playing well.
Yeah. That's enough bacon. Really, I'm done eating the most delicious meat ever. Really, I'm done with bacon. All right. So, two ways to look at the Cowboy loss last night. Let's be optimistic. This is the way Jerry Jones is looking at it this morning. Listen, we had 10 more first downs. You know, our field goal kicker was lousy. And our offensive line is hurt. We still won time of possession. Heck, Andy Dalton got us within range of, we thought, winning this game for about 3.5 quarters. Who can win with the injuries we've dealt with on the offensive line? We got more first downs. We rushed for over 100 yards. We won time of possession. With Andy Dalton, we were good on third down. Listen, we'll solve our defensive issues in the draft, and we're eventually going to get a better kicker than that, Steph. That's one way to look at it. That's how Jerry Jones and the Jones family probably look at it this morning. There's this way to look at it. Dallas had 12 days to prepare for Lamar Jackson, who had one practice, and the Ravens rushed for nearly 300 yards. That's another way to look at it. Or that Dallas's head coach is not very inspiring. Dak Prescott's good, but not like really, really good. The defensive coordinator's a whiff. Special teams now are below average. I also look at this league financially. And there's one thing in the NFL you cannot do. Pay great money to average or good players. Here are the 6 highest paid Dallas Cowboys this morning. And tomorrow morning. The 6 highest paid Dallas Cowboys are Dak, DeMarcus Lawrence, Amari Cooper, Zeke, Zach Martin, and Tyron Smith. And I love Zach Martin. Everybody else gets paid more than their production and value. Just for comparison. And just like a salary cap is just like your home budget. You'll pay a lot for a mortgage if you got a house in a good neighborhood with a good school. You'll pay a little bit more money for a car if it's incredibly reliable. You got it on a reasonable lease. You don't want to overpay for that stuff. So those are the 6 highest paid guys. What would they do on the market? Would Dak have a big market at $38 million? DeMarcus Lawrence at $25 million? Amari at $20 million? There'd be no market. Zach Martin would have a market. So let's go now to the Kansas City Chiefs. They appear to be well-run. Here are their 6 highest-played guys. Patrick Mahomes, Frank Clark, Chris Jones, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Honey Badger. I'll just give you a heads up. On the market, yeah, they're going for top dollar. The Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, David Bakhtiari, Kenny Clark, Za'Darius Smith, Devontae Adams, Preston Smith. By the way, they didn't pay a ton for Za'Darius or Preston Smith. So those are not huge contracts. They're not paid that much. On the market, all of them get the money they currently make, some more. Let's go to the L.A. Rams. Aaron Donald, Jared Goff, Jalen Ramsey, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Andrew Whitworth. Whitworth hurt and old. He wouldn't get a ton on the market, but he is a left tackle, so he'd get offers on the market if he was there for a year or two. Total team leader. You can complain about Jared Goff all you want. Would they be better with a quarterback you'd never heard of? Jared Goff's won 65% of his games and got to a Super Bowl. Big picture, long term, 5-year plan. Dallas has a lot of issues, and primarily the number one issue is they're paying a lot of money for good players. Some are aging and are hurt a lot. Zeke's not close to what he used to be. Colin, come on. Dak got hurt. That changed everything. You were 1-3 with Dak this year. You were 8-8 with Dak last year. With those six highest paid players, you got one wild card win with those Cats. That's it. You got to give me more than that. So Dallas has, to me, I look at Dallas. And the, well, our quarterback got hurt is not good enough. You look around the NFL, Seattle's highest paid people, Russell Wilson, okay, Jamal Adams, Carlos Dunlap, Bobby Wagner, Tyler Lockett. Now, Tyler Lockett is more, is a little, at this point, because DK Metcalf is so great, Tyler Lockett feels a little overpaid. But if you look at his salary, it's not like a DeMarcus Lawrence salary. Dallas has major problems. And I've said, okay, give me a solution. The solution is you got a really good draft pick. You're going to finish with a top five draft pick. You've got two choices with that draft pick. One of them, trade it and get multiple picks to get cheaper on the roster. Or two, get a quarterback. Here's Jimmy Johnson last night in the pregame show.
I think the number one priority, you know, they've got to sign Dak Prescott to a long-term contract. Not a franchise tag, because that will eat up too much of a reduced cap. Now, having said that, you know, I don't expect them to have this high a pick in the draft in the future. So I would not bypass a franchise quarterback in the draft. Quarterbacks are valuable. Go ahead and take one if one's there when you're picking.
And let him sit behind Dak Prescott for multiple years. But this is not, listen, baseball survived when the Yankees were irrelevant in the 80s. The NBA was fine when the Lakers pre-LeBron were irrelevant for about 4 or 5 years. Football is going to be fine without the Dallas Cowboys. But Jerry Jones likes to be front and center. And this, Troy Aikman said it at the end of last night's broadcast, there are a lot of issues and not a lot of solutions. When the solution is, all right, let's sign Dak, who we like, to a contract, stretch it out so it's not as punitive. It's not a great solution. He's good. He's not special. He's not going to overcome this defense, overcome average coaching. He's not that special. So I think you're going into a really, really average half decade if things don't change for the Cowboys. So last night, I didn't actually watch this. I saw it this morning because I was watching the game and doing stuff. The college football playoff rankings come out on Tuesday night. So I saw it on Twitter. Alabama 1, Notre Dame 2, Clemson 3, and Ohio State 4. You know, I've really noticed this, and you're really seeing it in sports, is that COVID has been difficult for everybody. It's not been easy for anybody. But does everybody realize Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State, with or without COVID, would be here? You really see it in college football and sports. COVID is unraveling average, below average, maybe slightly above average. But the only thing COVID's done to college football, Trevor Lawrence missed a week. Clemson probably beats Notre Dame if they have him. I saw a story this morning. What airlines have handled COVID the best? Delta and Alaska Airlines, my two favorite for the last 20 years. Well-run is well-run, even in crisis. Netflix, Apple, Tesla, Shopify, DocuSign, Amazon have all crushed. College football, everybody complains about the cancellations, and I can't believe this, and I can't believe that. Look at sports. The Dodgers have been one of the top-run franchises in baseball, 7 or 8 straight division titles. COVID, they won a World Series. LeBron James, COVID, won the NBA championship. Tampa Bay Lightning, by hockey people, considered really one of the great franchises, rock solid top to bottom for the last 5 or 6 years, won the Stanley Cup. Look in the NFL, who's good today? The Steelers, the Hunt family, the Packers, the Saints are always well run, the Seahawks. Like, COVID's bad, but I look at college football and everybody say, what about Michigan? Michigan's not great. Michigan's good. What about Penn State? They're good. What about Oregon? They're good. Brian Kelly's great. Dabo Sweeney's great. Nick Saban's great. Ohio State football's great. This thing's been tough on everybody. But when it's all said and done in sports, it's the Dodgers, it's the Lightning, it's the big dogs in college football, it's LeBron James, it's the Chiefs and the Steelers and the Packers and even the Patriots with all this mess, they're still in the playoff hunt. So I'm not saying it's been easy, but, you know, people are complaining about Ohio State and not playing enough games, folks, COVID or not, this is exactly what college football would look like. There's been one little difference. Trevor Lawrence had to miss a game, and Clemson would have beaten Notre Dame. As it is, they almost beat him anyway. All right, coming up next, it is funny to me. Just there's so much. The word I don't think I've ever used is haranguing about Lamar Jackson. There's just so much. People just can't. Oh, God, can't throw a football. Okay, I'm over it. Okay, like I'm gonna defend Lamar Jackson again, and then I'm gonna move off defending Lamar Jackson because I'm over the story, and I've won the story, and I'm over the story. That Nick Wright, Joel Klatt, next hour coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
New streaming service coming out called Discovery Plus, U.S. only next year, Discovery Plus. They'll have like Food Network on it, HGTV, my wife likes that, and some new originals too, Discovery Plus. So one of the reasons I like football, it's just about winning games. Like, it's nothing against, like, I like baseball playoffs, but so many baseball fans are into all these stats and, you know, on base and your whip. And by the way, I got plenty of whips at home that don't have anything to do with baseball. Anywho, I like winning. Like, that's everything. When I put money down, I put a hundy on a game last night. I don't care about anything but W. Lamar Jackson is 26-7 as a starter. Give me a break on, you don't like the way he throws. In California, when you're driving in Los Angeles, there's this freeway called the 405, and sometimes you get traffic jams, and I'm always jealous of motorcycles. They just weave in and out of traffic jams. He's the motorcycle on the 405 during a traffic jam. When somebody is great at something, and by the way, last night his passer rating, if you're into stats, is 101.8. It's not like he can't pass. When you're amazing at something, I'll allow you to be so-so at something else. Shaq was so dominant and powerful, I could live with his crappy free throw shooting, and it was awful. Tom Brady is incredibly unathletic, but he's so good pre-snap, in and out of trouble, I'll live with it. Tyreek Hill's the fastest guy in the NFL. I'll live with the fact he's not going to win many jump balls. He's tiny, probably not a great blocker. Amazon Prime, their content overpriced a bit. Okay, doesn't blow me away. But good God, I order something and 15 minutes later, one of their drones drops it off at my house. I mean, this kid is the motorcycle in the traffic jam on the 405 in L.A. He's weaving in and out of stuff. And by the way, you put his passing numbers up, he passes well enough. Okay, if you look at his NFL rank right now, TD interception in the first three seasons is third in the NFL. His passer rating is fourth. And I don't know how I don't even care about how you figure out a passer rating. His record now is much better than Josh Allen. This is not baseball. He wins games. When you give me something, it's like when you go buy a Ferrari, you give up gas mileage concerns. You give it up. You move to Phoenix. It's going to be hot in the summer, but the other 9 months are great. There are no perfect quarterbacks outside of Russell Wilson's even too small. Aaron Rodgers can be a little aloof. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, he's the perfect one. Good luck. You know, needle haystack, good luck. Did you know he was the perfect one 3 years ago at Texas Tech with a losing record? So Cowboy fans defend Dak to the core. He's not an elite thrower and not an elite runner. Lamar does something that's not available on the market. There's nobody that electric. I'll live with the passing stuff. He makes enough throws. He made one to the corner last night that was great. They were good on third down. He seems to be good on third down. John Harbaugh talks about, the guy had one practice last night and helped engineer a running game that created 294 yards.
Well, the one thing you do know about Lamar, you're going to get everything he's got, and that's really all you can ask for. He's going to give you whatever he has, and it turned out that he had a lot tonight, and that was good to see. I don't think you could predict that. He came out to practice. He looked good in practice. He was strong and healthy, and I'm just impressed with the fact that he was on top of the game plan so well. He'd been studying, obviously, the whole time he's away, and he played a great football game.
Two things I like about Lamar. He plays with urgency. Like, when I watched Lamar play, this was my knock on Jay Cutler. I talked about this yesterday. It's been my knock sometimes on Sam Darnold, on Baker Mayfield. Sometimes they don't play with urgency. With Lamar, he makes every field play like it counts. That's big to me. Even when he makes mistakes, He plays with urgency. There's no casualness to the way he plays. I love that. The second thing is he's incredibly coachable. He takes criticism. He doesn't get defensive. He owns it, and he gets better at stuff. So those are really big things to me. He plays with urgency. When he fails on a play, he's mad at himself. He doesn't point fingers. He's pissed. But he's not yelling at you. He's not pointing fingers. He's mad at himself. And the other thing, and this is big to me, he doesn't get defensive about criticism. He, like, owns it and then goes in the offseason and tries to fix it. So he's not perfect, but he's 26-7 as a starter. You can talk about whips all you want. I'm just, you know, those are private to me. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
You like messing with the internet.
What? Excuse me?
So Eagles head coach Doug Peterson confirmed yesterday that he will be starting Jalen Hurts, the rookie, as the quarterback against the Saints.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson was asked about his decision to replace Carson Wentz as the starter.
You know, we're not where we want to be as an offense. I looked at the whole thing and decided that for this week and to look for that spark again, to try to get the team over the hump, to try to get everybody playing better, right? And obviously the quarterback position is included there. So that's really the decision that I came to, moving forward this week.
I really don't know where I sit on this. Obviously, I had a feeling that Jalen Hurts was going to be the starter for at least this week. And it's the right decision. Carson Wentz has been playing terrible. You can't continuously reward any player with a starting position while they're playing terrible if you have someone like Jalen Hurts sitting on the sideline. Now, if they had no one else and they have to ride out with the rest of the season with the way that Wentz is playing, fine. But you did draft Jalen Hurts, and everyone else on the team is sitting around like, the rest of us have to compete for our position, and if we don't play well, we might get replaced.
Right.
He's out here throwing the game away and looking terrible, and every week he's still there. We should see what we have in Jalen Hurts.
Now, I am a little bit on the opposite side, which is if you have a statue of a former backup and then you draft Jalen Hurts in the second round, he's going to be a little insecure. I'm going to give him a little pass on that. I know we should just get over it, but I don't know. Listen, I will watch the game. Philadelphia had moved into unwatchable territory.
They
are now back into watchable territory.
They are now must-watch.
Yes. Like, I just... That's kind of, as a consumer, are you watchable or unwatchable? They moved back into watchable territory because I want to see what happens.
Oh, no. The second he came in the game, the whole situation changed for us as well. Like, this is content. Now there's a quarterback controversy in the middle of the season. We rarely get those. Yeah. So this is a big deal for us. But moving forward for the Eagles, what do you do? If Jalen Hurts does go out there, I'm not saying that they're going to beat the Saints, but if he keeps it competitive, if they do beat the Saints, then what do you do? They have the Saints, then they have the Cardinals. They're at the Cardinals, at the Cowboys, and then they have Washington for the rest of the season.
You know what's really funny? Just because it's the NFL, watch Philadelphia beat the Saints. That's so NFL.
And listen, Carson Wentz, I still believe, can play. I think there's a lot of factors that are playing into his season.
Colts.
But you do also, if you want all the praise of a franchise quarterback, you do have to deal with the criticism of it. I don't know. I'm almost always on players' sides with this.
And I'm very critical of players. So we're doing a role reversal here.
We are, because I don't buy into the whole you have to walk past Nick Foles every day. You didn't physically win that Super Bowl. Did he contribute to that season? Of course. He was having an MVP season before he got injured. He's a major reason that they won that Super Bowl.
I have a feeling you and Nick Wright will be on the same path on this.
We are in a very competitive business. There's not a day that I come into work without the anxiety that I could be replaced. So I do my job as such.
All right,
and if we came in and we had horrible ratings for an entire football season.
Yeah, that's never happened to either of us, but if it did.
It's never happened, but if it did, there would be changes and you would expect them.
All right.
So Dez Bryant, very weird situation before the game yesterday. Now, obviously we didn't know how much Dez was going to contribute to this game, but it was a storyline before the game started.
Yeah.
He was unable to play against the Cowboys because he tested positive right before last night's game. He was pulled from warm-ups, which is what he tweeted, that he was warming up. He was very unhappy. He then tweeted probably the tweet of 2020, which is, I'm about to drink some wine and cope. Which should really just be a shirt to define this entire year.
That is really good.
His emotions were understandable, but they went out and Lamar Jackson said that they felt like they had to get the win for him.
That really is the 2020 tweet of the year.
It is the slogan of the year. I'm about to drink some wine and cope. He was obviously very upset. He said that he wasn't going to quit for the rest of the season. He said he also tweeted, "This was more than just another game for me. It wasn't about revenge. I didn't need a catch. I just wanted to make a point." I feel bad for Dez. This was something he was really looking forward to. I was looking forward to seeing him out there.
I didn't think he was. I'd be totally honest. I was shocked he's back in the league. I kind of thought he would do a TO, which is he looked great in a T-shirt, but best days behind him. And Baltimore, good organization, went and got him. So to me, him being there is one of the stories of the year.
Yeah, and it was significant. So, I mean, what basically happened was his test that he took earlier was flagged, so they had to retest him, and then when it came back,
what does that
positive.
Mean? It's flagged.
There were some irregularities with it, or something. Right. It was inconclusive, or something like that.
They were positive or negative.
You can have an inconclusive test, which generally means that you're positive, but they have to retest you. So, I mean, this is a lab.
You can have
like, something can be wrong with the sample, or wasn't enough, or whatever. But it turns out he was positive, so he got taken out of the game. So according to reports, James Harden told the Rockets that he would be open to a trade to the 76ers or possibly other contenders. The Rockets and the Sixers have had no substantive talks about a potential Harden deal, according to sources. Now, Daryl Morey is with Philadelphia now. He said he doesn't want to break up Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I don't know what's going on in this situation with James Harden. He also posted a very interesting picture, a cryptic picture on Instagram. He's just posing in Adidas gear. There's no Rockets or NBA logo or
like
anything
like
that.
Like he's an independent guy.
Yes, like he's a free agent.
You know, that is, we should all use Twitter occasionally for that. I was very cryptic today on Twitter. It's fun. That Twitter I always tell my daughter, manipulate it. It's a toy. Don't use it as a necessity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, social media in general.
It's fun. It's a toy.
It's a job to me. I always think it's funny when people think that they know me.
Yeah, I think
I'm like, I'm good for going on an entire weekend trip and no one even knows I was gone.
Yeah,
like,
me, actually.
I choose to allow you to see. I'm actually an extremely private person, yeah. As you know. I choose to allow you to think that you're involved in my personal life. I think that James Harden is obviously sending a message. I just don't know what that message is.
That's
because
right.
The Rockets are in control of the situation. They have no urgency to trade him. They need to get the best deal for them, and right. He's under contract. So they're just going to have to deal with an uncomfortable situation for a while.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line.
You know,
news.
It is interesting, though, how we treat NBA players and we treat football players. Football players, it's like, hey, get over it. There's a statue out in front of your backup, and we're going to draft in the second round Jalen Hurts, and you're going to be asked about him constantly. Just get over it. In the NBA, Adam Silver's like, all my guys we're paying $30 million a year are miserable because of Twitter. And we have, like, sympathy for all the mean people on Twitter for NBA stars. NFL, it's like, deal with it. I don't think it's easy to be in Philadelphia where they're mad at the sunrise. They're mad at the bagels in the morning, and you draft a quarterback in the second round, and you get asked questions about him every Sunday if you have an incomplete pass. I think it's tough for Carson Wentz. I'm very sympathetic. Let's go to Nick Wright, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So Joy and I disagree on this. You're a very sympathetic person. I'm sure you'll take the side of Carson Wentz. Where do you land on this one, Nickster?
Well, quickly, just to back up Joy on something, she absolutely will take a trip and tell no one. She is even known to take trips all the way to New York City and then tell my wife she's in town and not drop her old buddy Nick Wright a note. Like we didn't get hired by FS1 together, work together. I find out third hand. She's four blocks away, but that's neither here nor there. Now on Wentz, here's the thing. I do feel badly for him. I do, because I have a soft heart and I'm a kinder person than you, Colin.
Yeah.
But Philly's got one move here. And you know who can help him? Our old buddy Colin Cowherd. Because their one move is to trade him to the Colts this offseason.
It makes sense.
The Colts got a quarterback who's almost 40. The only time Carson Wentz has been great was when Frank Reich was calling the plays.
True.
The Colts are going to be too good to draft a quarterback. They obviously don't love Jacoby. They have a great offensive line, a very good defense, a good running game, all the things you would want to help support Wentz, because Philly, they obviously hope Hurts is good, right? So if Hurts is good, you can't then bench him next year. You can't cut Carson because that's $60 million. And trading him, yes, if you trade him, it's a $34 million cap hit, but it's a $35 million cap hit if you do nothing. So at least you'd be ripping the Band-Aid off. Now, would they get anything in return? No. Would they maybe even have to attach their own draft pick, like a fourth rounder, to go along with Carson? Possibly, but then at least you can turn the page. So I think Colin Cowherd needs to call Chris Ballard and start singing the praises of Carson Wentz about how he could be good, because I know you're a Carson Wentz guy. So I feel like that you can help be the, you know,
bridge,
the lubricant to make this happen.
Well,
I will say this.
I think you make a lot of sense. People forget they're paying Phillip Rivers $25 million and Jacoby Brissett $20 million. So right now the Colts have the highest quarterback payroll in the NFL, and both those guys are on one-year deals. So I think the Colts is a perfect fit with Frank Reich. So let me go to this. So I said yesterday is that it used to be 20 years ago, 15 years ago, you didn't hear everybody's opinion. Social media has changed that. And to keep your sanity in life, you just have to mute certain people. LeBron James is bothered what Kyrie Irving said about Kevin Durant. And I'm like, LeBron, you got to push the mute button on Kyrie. Earth is flat. You know, steak's not a, actually doesn't come from anything on this earth or natural. Like, there are certain people that are gifted, they're funny, but for your sanity, you have to mute them. And I don't understand LeBron taking everything personally about from Kyrie Irving. What is going on here?
So here's why I think it stings LeBron. Because you can't just look at LeBron and Kyrie like a couple who got divorced. You've got to look at LeBron and Kyrie like a couple who has kids who got divorced. Meaning, they're always going to be in your life in some form or fashion.
Yeah.
So you want a good relationship there. LeBron's greatest singular moment of his career came alongside Kyrie. And Kyrie was a huge part of it. He hit the shot when they were tied with Golden State. Now, it should be noted, LeBron hit the free throws to ice the game, and LeBron, all that stuff. But Kyrie hit a really big shot. And so the fact that, there might be reunions one day. It's always going to be replayed. And for Kyrie, my old buddy World B. Flat, stole that from Basketball Reference. It's a great nickname. It's what Kyrie should be called from now on. For him to just all of a sudden be like, yeah, it's good to finally have a teammate who can hit a big shot, I would be wounded too. And in fact, I was wounded. Because I feel like I won that championship alongside the both of them, and Kyrie has marred it a bit. So I was hurt, so I can only imagine how hurt LeBron was.
As a guy that spent a lot of time in Houston, we shift gears to James Harden. Whereas LeBron is the great lubricator, Dwayne Wade was getting old, LeBron solved it. Kyrie was injury prone, nobody liked him in Cleveland, LeBron solved it. Lakers front office and ownership was completely dysfunctional, LeBron solved it. James Harden is the opposite. He's the agitator. The money, the support, the coach, CP3, Dwight Howard, Westbrook. I mean, at some point, you got to eliminate people in your life if you can't make them happy. Like, isn't it time for a reboot? I know you love Harden and Houston. It's time for a reboot. Trade him, right?
Well, I think they're going to trade him, and I wouldn't trade him for 30 cents on the dollar. I think you hold out for Ben Simmons or a package similar to that. But I want to say something about James Harden, because for the entire time I've known you, I've come on this show and I've defended Harden. I think Harden is the 26th greatest player ever. I think he has been unfairly maligned in the media. The way he has conducted himself the last 10 days is an embarrassment. And I'm not speaking just for myself when I say that. Very powerful agents and players across the league hate what he's doing. Because there is a way to go about your business as a professional, and there's a way to go about your business as James Harden has. And if you want to force your way out of Houston, so be it. But to go on a nightclub world tour in the middle of a pandemic, give Lil Baby $100,000, be at Dre's it till 5 in the morning while your teammates are practicing, and while Steven Silas in a league that needs to do a better job giving minority coaches a chance is finally getting his long-awaited chance, and you're making his job impossible because reportedly you don't like the culture in Houston. My guy, Harden, You are the culture in Houston.
Right.
No player in the league has been more empowered than you. You didn't want Dwight. He's gone. You don't want Chris Paul. He's gone. They've given you everything you wanted. His mom goes on IG, says, I don't think he wants a chance to win a championship. James, I love you. But one of the big reasons they've won a championship is because of his failures in the biggest moments. And so for him to want out is fine. For him to go about it, you know, like with respect to Seinfeld, like Costanza pulling around the World Series trophy in the parking lot, daring them to do something about it, is embarrassing. And other guys around the league don't like how he's handling this. That I can tell you, not on speculation, that I know.
By the way, a Cowboys thought, Kansas City is great, not just because of Andy Reid and Mahomes, but they have five or six highly compensated players, and they're all wildly productive. And if they hit the market, they would be scooped up. Seattle, same. Rams, same. Green Bay, same. Dallas is paying people who would not get an offer outside of Zach Martin on the market. What is the way out for them?
Yeah, I think that you're 100% right on almost all of this with the Cowboys. I think I picked them to go to the Super Bowl before the year, so I obviously, for me, this is Monday morning quarterbacking. I was way wrong on them. But you said it earlier, Colin, the worst thing you can do in this league is pay good players or average players like stars. It's why Philly is so in such a tough spot with Wentz. It's the exact problem for the Cowboys. You showed the Chiefs, the Chiefs' highest paid guys. One guy is underachieving, Frank Clark.
Yeah.
And he finished every single playoff game they had last year. The last play of the game, Frank Clark got a sack to ice the game. So he's got a grace period here to get back into it. You cannot have a bunch of guys paid like all pros who are fringe starters or just above average players. So what's the path? I think it is, assuming they're bringing back Dak, trading whatever pick they have for multiple picks to try to restock that way. Because they got some bad contracts. I mean, Zeke's extension, I think, goes for like another 4 years after this one.
Yes.
Does he look like a top five back in the league?
No.
And so, they rushed to pay Jalen Smith. They've just paid a lot of guys too early and far too much. So, yeah, I think you're right on that, which would be a good place for us to end. But I'm going to hijack this for a moment because I've conspired with your producers. The greatest poker player ever is a man named Doyle Brunson.
Yeah.
He's also known to be a great gambler. He had a very interesting tweet yesterday. Show it to America, please, wonderful Herd producer staff. Doyle says to me, yep, Nick, I tape your show and Colin Cowherd's show. That was a spelling error. Watch it every day. Bet a lot of money on your picks. That's to me. Much better than this year's blazing five from Colin. DM your special picks to me. You see that, America? That's me elbowing Colin Cowherd off his own corner. And Doyle Brunson, Texas Dolly, poker super system, two-time World Series main event champion, is co-signing it. So when the pandemic's over, Doyle, if you're watching, I'm flying to Vegas. Colin's going to arrange it. I'm going to play in one of these poker games you play in. That might cost me a lot of money, but it's no problem because Doyle and myself are bathing ourselves in our riches from all our football picks this year.
Whatever.
So that's all. I just wanted to put that up there. How great is that?
It was
Doyle Brunson.
I know. I saw it. And you never spare an opportunity to be really obnoxious to your mentor and friend. I always really appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's great. I just wait for it every Wednesday at
it
this time.
It was great.
It was fantastic.
All-time great moment for me. It was great.
Nick, good seeing you, buddy. First
so
things
happy.
First. Coming
See
up next,
later.
My favorite coach ever. At the microphone, Mike Tomlin did it again. I may not like the Steelers. God, I love Mike Tomlin. Dropped another gem yesterday. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
CarShield.com, code HERD, 10% off. Warranty runs out, CarShield.com. Mike Tomlin used to drive me crazy. He used to drive me crazy. Not that he wasn't a good coach. We all know he's a Hall of Famer. But the teams were always loose. And then I've come to a point with Mike Tomlin, because I'm a curious guy. I want to get better and smarter, that the stuff that Mike Tomlin controls is never the loose stuff. It's always the offensive stuff, which tells me it's Big Ben. And because every year, the Steelers develop defensive play. I never look at the defensive stats and think, oh, they are underachieving. It's Pittsburgh's offensive stats. And Mike Tomlin's a defensive coach, like a Tony Dungy or a Bill Belichick. You hire a coordinator, and you kind of let them take it. And so Mike Tomlin is so good. He's John Gruden and Tomlin are so good interviewing. Everything's in 9-second sound bites. Everything is quotable. And he is getting tired of this epidemic of dropped passes with the Steelers. It's been so bad for the last month, and Tomlin talked about it.
They can catch the ball, or they can get replaced by those that will catch it, you know? And it's just as simple as that. Like I've often said, man, I expect guys to make routine plays routinely. And when there's a pattern of that not happening, then we got to look at, you know, who we're throwing the ball to. You know, the coaching of catching the football for those who are employed to do it at this level is not something that I got a lot of patience for.
It's so good. So here's the thing. Pittsburgh's like, you don't like our football team. No, your offense drives me crazy. The playoffs are all about details. They're not about the most talent. New England wouldn't be a dynasty if it was about talent. It's not about talent. Pittsburgh's had more talent than New England most of the last 20 years. But they are first in the NFL in drop passes, and they're near the bottom in yards per carry, which is another efficiency stat. Yards per carry doesn't mean you have the best backs. What it means is your blocking techniques can hold people for 4.2 yards a carry. So, once again, Pittsburgh's issues are on the offensive side. They drop too many passes, and their yards per carry stinks. I know their offensive line's not bad, and I don't blame Tomlin for this. So this is why when I watch Pittsburgh, I see a team that can't run and drops the ball, and they're not buttoned up. There's been the Saints and the Patriots are always buttoned up. Now, they lack components. New Orleans doesn't throw the ball over the top. New England, outside of the Randy Moss years, has never been terribly dynamic on the outside. But I always feel they're buttoned up. Once again with Pittsburgh, I feel like offensively, you're going to play a Kansas City that does all the little things well, or a New Orleans that does the things well, if you got to a Super Bowl, and Pittsburgh's talented but doesn't do the little things well. And so they just, and I used to really bag on Tomlin about this, but the more I inspect it, it is mostly offensive side of the ball underachieving. And I like the way he addressed it. By the way, the Carson Wentz topic is fascinating. So Nick Wright was on. He just mentioned this, and he's right. He said there's a perfect place for Wentz to go. It's the Colts. It is the place to go because they're paying Phillip Rivers $25 million a year, Jacoby Brissett $21 million, the backup. So it's $46 million. You'd save $10 million getting Wentz, right? And they're pretty much a young roster. The other thing is people will think, well, that is cost prohibitive. No, it's not. What's cost prohibitive is Phillip Rivers and Jacoby Brissett making 46. If Wentz goes back and works as well as he did with Frank Reich earlier, that's market average. The other thing we do, we know, you and I know this, not only in football, but life, environment matters. Leonard Williams was traded from the Jets to the Giants. He is a significantly better player, same house, goes to the same stadium. He's a better player with the Giants than the Jets. Why? Coaching and culture. Ryan Tannehill in Miami to Tennessee. It's like a different player. Last year he was like a Pro Bowler at times. Why? Different culture. I wrote somebody else down today that made me think of that. There's another player somewhere. Oh, Minkah Fitzpatrick. Miami couldn't figure out where to use him. Pittsburgh brings him in. The first game they had him, he had like a pick six. So Minkah, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Tannehill. We know that Wentz, right now in Philadelphia, he doesn't connect with his coach. He doesn't connect with his coordinator. He's a small-town kid in an angry northeast city that's loud and outspoken. It doesn't work. So just change the environment. Leonard Williams to the Giants. Make a fat Patrick to the Steelers. Ryan Tannehill to the Titans. Carson Wentz. It's not a bloated contract. With that offensive line, Michael Pittman, Jonathan Taylor, that GM and that coach, if he works, $35 million is exactly what you'd pay a top 12 quarterback in the NFL. Joel Klatt, going to bust my chops, I imagine. Hour two, live in L.A. It's the Herd.